If any of the more recent draft classes by Omar Khan and the Pittsburgh Steelers says anything, it could actually tell us the writing on the wall for what could be the selection in the first round of this upcoming 2026 NFL draft class being held in Pittsburgh in the Heinz Field parking lot, which I'm very excited for. We will be there.
Look forward to it.
It's about 2 weeks away. Cannot wait. Hope to see a lot of you guys there. But yes, if anything from the previous draft classes tell us anything, it's possible the Steelers just might go trenches very early on again, and perhaps once again in the first round.
Well, it's been a pattern for them. It's no secret. Ever since Omar Khan has really been the GM, and ever since that they have hired Andy Weidel to be the assistant GM for Omar Khan. And it's always been a thing about them to build the foundation. I mean, you win football games from the foundation, from the trenches. If you don't have strong trenches, you're shit out of luck. Swear jar. Pretty much.
Lord knows, man. But today we're going to talk about some of the top guard prospects, not only in this draft class, but for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So thank you guys for tuning in to another edition of the Steeler Culture Podcast, where we break down Pittsburgh Steelers football. This episode is powered by our friends over at Prize Picks. Let's talk about the guards, man. If you're honestly talking about the more necessary positions for the Steelers or more positions that the Steelers need to address in terms of starters, like what's the most starter needy position for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, it's arguably guard because we don't have a starting left guard. Our entire line is filled. We have our day one starters as of now. Left guard, we do not. We have fill-ins. We have what we like to call Band-Aids in Spencer Anderson and Brock Hoffman. They're not bad options. They're good fill-ins, and depending on how late they want to select guard, they could be the starters for now before that guy eventually gets to start, right? But are they full season starters? Are they 16, 17 game starters?
No.
Yes, they do. I'm kidding. Shout out to one and only Iceman for some.
The one and only. Shout out to him.
Wow. I hope that picked up on the mic, by the way. We got another one. Isaac Moses.
Okay.
Live in person here.
Damn, bro. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome.
Shout out to you guys. Thanks for subbing up, man.
How about that? But anyway, yes, guard. It's a position that they have to address, that they got to take care of. Preferably for us right here, the Steel Twins, we would like them to address it within the first 2 days. Because I just don't see them really dragging out the guard position up until day three. If they brought back, say, Amalu for like a year or whatnot, I could see that as a more likely option and scenario. Kind of like it was with when we had James Daniels and Nate Herbig, and then we selected McCormick in the fourth round.
Right.
We just don't have that situation. Hence, guard is a wide open position that they have to fill.
Dare they take it in the first round, which is where I brought up earlier at the start of this video, perhaps the trend from what Omar Khan and company have been doing, Andy Waddle, of course, as well, has a lot of influence. Is their trend the writing on the wall for what the Steelers will do in the first round? Do they go trenches once again? They already did with Broderick Jones, Troy Fitanu, and Derek Harmon. All trenches. That's a lot of Omar Khan and especially Andy Waddle influence.
Mm-hmm.
Will they do it again? And there's at least three guard prospects in the first round that they could take. Two of them are tackles that will have to switch to guard due to arm length. One is a pure bona fide left guard that is an absolute dream to fall at 21. Yes, you guys already know. Olaiva Vega Iowane, left guard out of Penn State.
Bully.
This guy is a dream selection at 21. I am absolutely willing and comfortable with the Steelers trading up to get him. I know it's not a skill position. Why would you trade assets? Why would you trade up for a position that isn't very much of like wide receiver or safety, right? Or whatever, linebacker, right? It's not the biggest skill position, but it's also a position that we need to fix. And Iowane is literally a 10, 15-year starter in this league.
No doubt about it. He's 22 years old. He's got the frame for it, 6'4", 320 pounds.
He is one of the best, if not the best, guard prospect coming into the draft since Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame.
And if we have to trade up for a guy like him just to make sure that he does not go to the Baltimore Ravens, per se, they have the flexibility to do it with how many picks that they got. It's not like that they have to throw away capital that they could use. They have plenty of capital that they could just trade away just to trade up to get a guy like him. And you have him for a decade or more.
They have 12 draft picks, and they don't exactly need 12 players.
Based off the moves that they did in free agency, basically the first week, really. I mean, like, they've fulfilled a lot of players, a lot of starter positions, and even depth at that.
Right.
They don't exactly need to keep all 12. I don't see 12 rookies making this football team.
No, so if they want to trade up for Iowane, or I would still love them to trade up for a certain wide receiver. To me, it's guard or wide receiver in the first round. To me. But in regards to the topic here, Iowane, The dream is he falls. People are saying he won't get past the Jets. He might not even get past the Ravens. He might not make it out of the top 10. We never know. When it comes to the draft, when it comes to that Thursday night, 3-4 hours of selections, we just never know how anything's going to churn out, which makes it very exciting and unpredictable and, quite honestly, enticing. Like, Lord knows, like, say Iwane makes it past the Ravens. I'm sure everybody in Pittsburgh that want this guy to be a Pittsburgh Steeler are really going to start getting a lot of their hopes up. I'll be there. I'm sure if that actually happens, I might get my hopes
up. Well, I'll tell you right now, throughout the past couple of weeks, Iwane has definitely slowly risen up my draft needs, my draft boards of guys I really want to be a Steeler. Lemon is still number one on my list right now. He's still number one in my book.
Same.
But Iwane is a close number one. He's number two for sure. Let me tell you that right now.
If you're talking like interior offensive linemen, I mean centers and guards and everything, he is the best one on the draft board. He is the number one interior offensive lineman in this class. So Iwane, honestly, if he falls to 21, that's just impossible to pass on, isn't it? Now, he hasn't had a top 30 visit as of this recording. We don't know. It could happen. It should absolutely happen.
I don't know
he's
why
from Penn
it
State. He's not far from Pittsburgh.
No,
he already had a top 30 visit last month with the Eagles, who have, I believe, the 23rd pick. There's no reason the Steelers should not bring this guy in for a top 30 visit. Well, as of this recording, which is Monday, April 6th, he has not had a top 30 visit yet, but I'm sure he will.
I don't see how he doesn't. I really don't, considering that it's a very real possibility for him to fall to 21 or because of the flexibility that they have to trade up to get him. I don't know how the Steelers or Omar Khan, just based off their love of the trenches, don't bring this guy in for a top 30 visit. He's got to be one.
Right.
And I do believe that they will bring him in. It's just a matter of when. It could very well be the week of the draft or the final week before the draft, whatever it is.
Right.
Kind of like what they did with Derek Harmon last year. Very similar scenario, potentially.
Well, considering they have, as of this recording, 14 top 30 visits still to fill, the majority of those are going to be first-round talent, day two talent.
Yeah, because they haven't looked at any of those guys yet. It's been a lot of day three players, to which, of course, they have a lot of day three capital.
Right.
But it's a matter of time until they bring in the surefire earlier selections, the first-rounders.
Iwane is definitely going to be one of them. I think that's going to be apparent. Iwane, he hasn't allowed a sack in 2 years.
Nope.
He allowed 3 sacks in 2023. That was 2 years ago. Ever since then, he has been an absolute rock as a stout pass protector. Like, frankly, like when you look at what he brings on to the field and look at his film and how he just aggressively destroys defensive linemen, and he's an absolute beast at his stance, right? He's probably a better pass protector than he is a run blocker, and his run blocking is very, very dominant, very good. This guy's a beast. He's a people mover. Like, this guy is just a mauler at guard. Like, if he's there at 21, I don't know how you pass on him. It all depends on how the board falls, absolutely. But frankly, like, he might be best player available at 21 as well. Same thing with Fatanu. Omar Khan said, I'll never forget, Omar Khan said, like, we didn't think he would drop all the way to 20, and he's just one of those guys we could not pass on. He was high on our draft board. I think they had him as the number one tackle on their draft board, and he fell to 20 because of injury issues.
Yep.
And he had a very good season in his second year. Same thing with Iwane. I'm sure they have him very high on their draft board. Once they bring him in for a top 30 visit, that's going to just really start making the connection very interesting for that night, that Thursday night. And if he's there, it's just one of those situations. Like, they've already gone trenches many years in the past. If he's there, how do you pass on a guy like Vega? Like, he is my number two most desired prospect in this draft outside of Mekhi Lemon.
Yeah.
And Mekhi Lemon, you're most definitely going to have to trade up. With Iwane, there's a very, very, very small chance that he falls, but I'm going to rely on that chance. You can call me delusional if you want. I want Vega. If we want a first-round guard, Vega is that guy. Otherwise, day two is a prime spot to take guard, probably the most likely spot that they will go guard, but we still can't rule out Vega as a realistic possibility.
No, not at all.
So if Omar Khan and Andy Waddle want a strong, dominant, massive frame of a guard that's going to absolutely fulfill that position in the O-line in general for the next decade or so, Vega would definitely be a home run selection in the first round. Now, like I mentioned, there are other first round guard prospects, more so tackles that will have to convert to guard due to their arm length and another big frame guy. And if you look at the tackle prospects specifically that the Steelers have brought in for top 30 visits, Travis Burke and Markell Bell, right? They are massive frame guys. I think Burke is what, 6'9"? 6'9"?
He's a big dude.
So if you were talking massive frame guys, which the Steelers are looking at, another massive frame guy that has mostly played left tackle the last 3 years at Alabama, will have to move the guard, is Caden Proctor, and is getting first round talks and has been mocked to the Steelers multiple times by draft analysts or certain websites. I would not mind Proctor, but he wouldn't be my first, second, or third, maybe even fourth choice. Frankly, it all depends on how the board falls for me to be comfortable with taking Proctor. There's multiple other players I would much rather take over Proctor, but he is a massive frame guy. 6'7", 352.
Yes.
And because of his arm length, 33 3/8 of an inch, he'll have to move to guard. But he is going to make a very good left guard, in my opinion, or right guard. He can move over if he has to, but frankly, the fact that he's played primarily at that left side, that left tackle spot, and has held his own pretty well, moving the guard is going to be the best move for him because he just doesn't have the movement or the speed or more so the athleticism to stay at left tackle and play up against those speedy and athletic edge rushers and set that edge. That's where moving to guard is going to be the best fit for him. He will have to work a lot on his technique and stance and leverage. But the way he plays is still very physical. He's got a bigger frame, which is what you want at the guard position. He's going to make a good guard, but is he one of more my top five guys I want? No. But would I be comfortable with him in the first? I would, but it all depends on how the board falls. More so like a trade back scenario and then taking him.
Well, his size is no doubt very intriguing. Just a big body guy, and for him to move over to guard, that's his best fit for him at the NFL level. And that's a big guard right there that you can't really neglect on. That's a huge body right there, right at left guard. The thing about Proctor is his lack of athleticism because of his size.
And he's very slow.
Even his foot speed, or even like his arm length, of course, and his hand placement, that's all going to have to get worked on for sure. But, I mean, there's no doubt that Proctor is a very intriguing player just based off his size. Or even his youth, he's almost 21 years old.
Yeah.
So, like, he's still got a lot to learn. And, you know, if he works on all the mechanics and whatnot and moving over to guard, which should help him with all the negatives and turn all that into positives, you could look at a player that's going to be a starter for quite a long time.
Right.
That's just up to development and for Proctor to work out on.
Yeah, that's kind of more like a it's more of like a back option in terms of whoever's there at 21. Let's say most of the receivers are off the board. Let's say Vega isn't there and they want a big frame guy, which they've looked at many of them. He could be one of those options. Another one who I really like, and frankly, I don't know if he'll be there at 21. I kind of view him more as an option for the Ravens than I do Vega.
Spencer Fonda from Utah.
Tackle, but 32 1/8 inch arms.
Very, very short arm length for a tackle, so it's more likely he might have to move the guard at the NFL level, but there's no doubt about it. This guy is a pure athlete for his size.
Yeah.
6'5½", 311 pounds.
Well, both Fonu brothers from Utah are going to be studs.
Oh, they got that pedigree in them.
Like, honestly, if they want to go edge, like, later on into the draft, I like Logan as well.
But even Spencer, like, his 40-yard dash for his size, like a 4.91, that's pretty quick and pretty athletic for what he brings to the table.
He's going to make for a very good interior offensive lineman because of his athleticism and his handwork is very violent. His lateral movements, his feet move very, very fluid, right? I like him a lot as an interior offensive line. He even was doing center snaps at the combine. Like, this guy's trying to get drafted. He understands his arm length is short. Moving the interior isn't going to be a bad thing for him because he's going to find himself to be a 10-year-plus starter.
Which shows his versatility and his will to work at any position, which is what you want in an offensive lineman in general. But just his ability to move inside and his athleticism, it reminds me a little bit of Fatanu when he came out of Washington.
Yeah.
And people even consider because of his height and his arm length to a degree that he should move the guard. And just based off his versatility that he had at Washington, people thought he should move the guard, but he's holding his own. Fine, right tackle.
Well, remember that they announced him as the selection. They're like, guard, Washington. He's like, he's not a guard.
No.
He's
no, Hayward said tackle. And it's like, boom, it's like right there and then. Like, he's going to be the tackle right here. And again, he's on his own. But Fonu with his athleticism and even his adjustments, you know, when it comes to blocking, especially his run blocking at that, I think that's his best trade for him. Just him to move over at guard at the next level, I think that's a great fit for him.
Yeah, like very much like Proctor. There's not much interest there, but I don't want to rule them out. And I'm just going to add them as potential guard options because they will eventually be guards at the next level, and they are probably the only guard-worthy selections in the first round at 21, comfortably. Otherwise, day two is probably the sweet spot and the most realistic time for the Steelers to select guard, specifically a left guard. And when you look at the second round, you look at second or third round, There's four guys that pop off the charts immediately.
Yes, they do.
There's Emmanuel Pregnon from Oregon. There's Jennings Dunker, who is a tackle, but like Fanu and Proctor, will have to move to guard, preferably left guard for the Steelers. You have Kalen Rutledge, who's an absolute beast. You have Chase Besantis, who, yes, his arm length is one of the shortest at the guard position in this entire class. However, Besantis is also a dog. Like, day two is the sweet spot for the Steelers to address guard because you have a plethora of options. You also run the risk of some of them flying off the charts mad early day two. How many will be available at 53, or if they select another position at 53, like linebacker, receiver, corner, safety, perhaps even quarterback. I would not want them to, but I can't rule out anything here. 76 is a bit of a gamble for any of these guys to fall. I know Pregnon is even getting late first round talks. Will he be there in the second round? Will he be there at 53? And yes, he is a bit of an older guy. He'll be 25 by the time the season starts.
That's not a concern because, I mean, when it comes to offensive linemen, the age doesn't concern me. Because look at Garrett Bowles for the Broncos. He was a very old rookie being selected, but he's still honing it down over a left tackle for Denver. And he's, what, in his early to mid-30s?
Yeah.
And he's still a great player. He's still got years left to play in him. Like offensive linemen can play for 10 or more years, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. One of my pet peeves about the draft process is a prospect's age. But that really is all picky regarding the position. Like, look at a guy like Keontae Scott. Keontae Scott's a great slot guy. Physical to the T.
Yep.
But he, like Pregnon, will be 25. With him, you're looking at more like a one-contract guy because of his position, defensive back.
And with that, I can understand that argument of like, you know, like, Scott's a great player. The guy's very flashy, very dominant. Just the ageism is going to be a bit of a nitpick there.
But when I would still take Scott, though.
Scott's great. He's one of those guys, one of those talents that you can't really pass up on if you were to be there.
But Pregnon, with his age, like I'm a lot more okay because, bro, he's an offensive lineman. They can play 10 years. If you get 10 years out of Pregnon, bro,
that's a great selection, especially with a guy of his caliber and just what he's shown to the table at various schools, you know, USC and then transferring over to Oregon and doing what he did, being a first-team All-American, having that honor last year,
yeah,
and his only season at Oregon. The guy held it down at left guard. The guy's an anchor as a left guard.
That's okay. And he's a natural left guard. He can play a little bit of right, but obviously for the Steelers, he's just primarily a natural left guy. You're looking at an interior offensive line that's just big and violent and hard to get by, right? You're looking at straight maulers in the interior. Pregnon brings that as well.
He does.
He only allowed one sack, two hits, in two hurries on 471 pass-blocking snaps just last year.
That's it.
So his pass protection is A-OK.
It's legitimate. His pass pro is legitimate against bull rushers, and as a run blocker, he's powerful.
Yeah.
He's stout. He's brute. And that's what you want in an offensive lineman, even at his age.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if his age is going to be a reason for people to maybe have him lower on the draft boards, because I don't see him falling at 53. I can honestly see him being taken late first round. I really can.
Yeah, I wouldn't be.
I think he's that good.
I wouldn't be shocked either. The Texans need offensive line. I mean, I know they've made some moves, so I could see Pregnon being an option for the Texans later in the first or early day two since they have 28 and 38.
It's very well possible. Or if he falls out of the first round, I can see him being taken extremely early day two.
Right.
I can.
Honestly, if the Steelers want to land a guy like Emmanuel Pregnon, he has a great trade back option in the first or a necessary trade up.
If they really want to secure guard, to which I could see them for sure doing so because of how much they care about the trenches.
In fact, some of these guys honestly might require a trade up at guard, which I'm A-okay with because one, it's in the second round and it's going to cost less.
Yeah.
And you still solidify the guard position for a decade. Pregnon is probably one of those guys that you just might have to trade up for unless for some reason he falls. I just don't see it happening. Same thing with Chase Besantis. Would he be there at 53? I mean, we mocked him before at 53, but obviously as the draft process gets closer and closer and later, guys are getting mocked a lot earlier than they were before, than months prior, than months mocked before, right? Than what consensus initially had them.
Mm-hmm.
Consensus is now having Besantis kind of going a little bit earlier day two. Would he be there 53? Honestly, a guy like Pregnon might require you to get up at least 15 to 20 spots. Besantis, maybe not as much, which could require less to trade up for. But still, with a guy like Besantis, who the Steelers have looked into and have shown interest, is a young, absolute athlete at the guard position, and he would still solidify that spot day one. He would fill left guard immediately and is just another violent offensive lineman with heavy hands and good frame at 6'5", 315, only 21 years old. So
if you want a more youthful option at guard, who's getting more comfortable year by year at the position, by the way, Bisontas is one of those guys you can look at. As a matter of fact, he did start off at right tackle early in his career, but obviously it was never going to work due to his arm length. So
yeah, 31 3/4 inches.
Yeah, it was never going to work.
He has some of the shortest arms of any lineman in this draft.
So him at tackle, right tackle, it was never going to work. So they did the smart thing. They moved him over to guard, and it's been his natural fit. It's been the one of the better things that has happened to his college career, and he's really stood out at Texas A&M.
Yeah, he had to play right tackle initially as, a true freshman because there were injuries. Then, obviously, he moved into the guard position. He found a natural feel there, and he has really elevated himself year in and year out. He's lowered the hurries. He's lowered the sacks. He's lowered the penalties. He has really earned himself as a trustworthy guard option day two for any guard needy team. 2023, he started all 13 games as a true freshman, 12 of them, like I said, being at right tackle.
Yep.
Moving the guard and is really just, again, found a home there. He's honed his craft and given up only one sack, 3 quarterback hits, and 8 hurries on 441 pass blocking snaps just last year. He's 21. He's still young. He's still essentially learning the guard position, but with James Campen as the offensive line coach and him still being young and being an athlete at that position, I think he would be another home run solid option there in the second round. Might require a trade up. You might want to gamble with him at 53. If he's not there, then you still have a guy like Jennings Dunker from Iowa.
Yes.
Because he, much like many tackles in this class, are going to have to move to guard because of his arm length. Now, he was very solid at tackle, too.
He was a right tackle. He was a 3-year starter at right tackle for the Hawkeyes.
But with 33.5-inch arms, it's just not going to cut out in the NFL.
Not just his arm length, but to his skill set. Because when you watch him on tape, his skill set, it just seems like a better natural fit at guard, mm-hmm. at the next level.
I agree.
But, I mean, he put up quite the resume at Iowa. Because in 2024, he earned second-team All-Big Ten honors from coaches, being a part of Iowa's rushing attack that averaged 197.2 rushing yards per game, which was led by Caleb Johnson.
Yeah, former third rounder last year out of Iowa.
Yes, and in 2025 for Dunker, he was named first team All-Big Ten and was a part of the Iowa offensive line that was awarded the Joe Moore Award that's given to the nation's best offensive line.
Well, frankly, Iowa linemen just churn out to be great studs in the NFL.
But that's still a great resume to have if you're Jennings Dunker, for that to carry on into the NFL. It's
yes.
quite the resume that you want to have.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good anchor in pass protection. You know, he doesn't really get beat a lot by a lot of moves or especially by the bull rush. So he's got strong anchor in his feet. You know, his hands are very violent as well. It's a common theme with a bunch of these guard prospects in this draft, right?
It just seems like, just with his look, but also his pedigree and his skill set, his style as an offensive lineman, especially with his run blocking, I think that's his best trait that he carries, a part of his skill set, a part of his game, because he's just a brute force when he goes up against run defenders.
Agreed.
And he's a guy that always loves to be on the move, and when he's on the move, defenders might want to watch out. It could very well be a good fit for a guy like Jennings Dunker, and quite the experiment that the Steelers may want to give a shot at for.
Yeah, because obviously he's played right tackle most of his Iowa run, so obviously he's going to have to move to the other side, which is just no stranger to the Steelers. They did that with Fatanu, played left tackle, Washington moved all the way over to the right side. We all know the whole Broderick Jones situation, how that's panned out, right? McCormick played left guard his entire South Dakota State run, moved over to right. So Dunker moving from right to left, I think it would be just a fluid move for him, and guard's definitely his best fit in the NFL. So I like Jennings Dunker as a great option in the second round. You might gamble with him there in the third. I wouldn't. I'm very comfortable taking him at 53. I'm also very comfortable with taking Kalen Rutledge at 53. This is also someone that you could gamble to fall to 76. I'm just not okay with gambling, waiting on guard that long. You could, because there's plenty full of guard prospects. My fear is that there's going to be a plethora of them that just fall off, that essentially drop off the board like flies mad early.
Yeah, so
you want to secure it.
I think you guys can tell that for us, it's either first or second round when it comes to guard.
Yes. If they want to wait till the third and gamble on like a Dunker or like a Rutledge at 76, by all means, I think that's a home run selection. That's incredible value. It's just, to me, I'm a lot more comfortable with just, if it requires a trade up or taking them right then and there at 53, by all means, just secure the position and you have your stud guard for the next decade. Kalen Rutledge is one of my more favorite guard prospects just because of his demeanor, his violence, and his physicality on the field, especially with him as a pulling guard. Like, he's a mover. And he's a mauler, and the second he hits whoever the hell he's blocking, that guy's going to feel the hit. This guy's a brute. as a mover, but even in pass protection, even in his stance right there as right guard, because he played a lot of his snaps at right guard. So moving to left, again, Steelers have to move them to another side, which isn't a concern with them and their coaching. But Rutledge from right guard to left guard would still be a hell of a move for him and a move for the Steelers. But what he does in pass pro, he hasn't given up a sack ever.
No.
Says a lot about his pass pro set.
No, in his 2 years as a Yellow Jacket, he has not given up a single sack, which is quite the resume, quite the pedigree that you're bringing into the NFL. And his play style, we said this in the recent mock that we uploaded that's now live on the channel. If you haven't checked it out, please do. Mm-hmm. His play style reminds us a lot of Mason McCormick. And his transition from right to left, it would be very Mason McCormick-esque from when he had to switch from left to right.
Yeah.
And his transition was pretty much easy peasy for him. He had zero issue making that transition. So I can see somewhat of a similar situation when it comes to Rutledge. I mean, this guy's a brute. This guy's a hell of an offensive lineman. He's a big frame body at guard here. Love his play style.
Yeah, he's just another one of those bully maulers at the guard position, right? Someone that you watch his tape, you watch his film, and it just speaks, hey, man, that is a Steelers guard for at least a decade. For the Steelers, it's very interesting because he, as of this recording, he is the only guard prospect that they have brought in for a top 30 visit. The only one.
Which is very telling.
That's going to change very quickly, but he was the first and so far only guard prospect they brought in for a top 30 visit. So the interest is definitely there. If they want to take him at 53, I am very comfortable taking him there. If they want to gamble at 76, it's a gamble. Could he be there?
But that'd be great value, but I don't know if he makes it there. It's just one of those risks that I don't know if you want to take. So taking him at 53, I'd be cool with it. Just because you fulfill guard and you get a damn good one at that.
I view him as a top and very realistic option day two if they don't go guard in the first round.
For sure, same here.
And definitely speaks Steeler to me. Just his look and the way he plays and his violence, his physicality on the field. Speak Steelers left guard right then and there. Otherwise, everyone else after that, like we mentioned, all these guard prospects, Ilwane, Proctor, Fanu, Pregnon, Dunker, Rutledge, Besantis, those are your top and more realistic options.
And that's a lot of names early on.
After that, there's a bit of a drop-off, which is where I am very much in the camp of let's go guard in the first two or three picks. Solidify that position. Because if you don't and these guys fall off the board, you could rely on a Brock Hoffman. You could rely on a Spencer Anderson to battle it out and be your starter for now. You want to draft someone later and then build that guy up to eventually be that left guard. There's Bo Stevens I like out of Iowa. We had him mocked in our very first mock draft pre-free agency because we didn't know what was going to happen with Isaac Seumalo.
No.
Then he got signed to the Cardinals. Stevens is a borderline late day two, early day three option. He's a very good guard. Very strong guard. Honestly, I see a little bit of McCormick in him as well.
No, I love his play style. I mean, he's another one of those guys that's very strong in pass pro, a good run blocker. Again, part of that offensive line that won the Joe Moore Award with Jennings Dunker.
Yeah.
Except he's more of a natural guard. He's more of a natural left guard at that. And he's one of those guys that, if you were to fall back on as a fallback option and select this guy wouldn't be a bad selection. I mean, what he brings to the table as far as his skill set and how he is as a guard in general, I do like his play style.
I do too. Another one I'll mention out of Kentucky is Jalen Farmer. He actually has some of the longest arms of any offensive line prospect in this draft. He has tackle arms. He has 34 and a quarter inch arms. He has tackle arms.
That's long.
But he's a natural guard, which is very, very telling. I think he's going to make himself a solid starter in the league, a starter-worthy ceiling. Maybe not day one starter. He'll start off as a backup and then find his way to become a eventual multi-year starter for whatever team selects him.
And the thing about Farmer, when looking at his tape, I will say this. His ability as a pole guard, I feel like, is his best trait.
He's a much better athlete.
He is. Like, when he's on the move, because of his big frame and his long arms and even his tenacity as a lineman, you definitely want to watch out for him. Him as a pole guard on the move, that's where he's best at, when he's on the move, when he's at the second level.
You know, I also, he's a bit bigger than him. I kind of see a little bit of Kevin Dotson in him, too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, you know what? I think that's my comp, and that's his ceiling. He would be Kevin Dotson, who is very good with the Rams, and could have been good for us if we didn't put him out of position.
Yeah.
Glad to see Dotson got the bag and is doing well. You know what? Protecting Matt Stafford, the MVP.
Props to Dotson, man.
Shout out to Kevin Dotson. But I kind of see that in Farmer as well. He'll probably be selected around the same area, fourth round, and then be built up pretty much the same way. A similar career path. But for his size, 6'5", 312, and his arm length and his athleticism, that's a big frame moving guard right there. So I wouldn't mind him as like a like a last ditch effort option. Like everyone falls off the board. Where do we go now? I would not mind him at all.
And he gave up no quarterback hits and only committed one penalty last year.
Yeah.
So it's pretty impressive.
I like him as a guard option if all the top prospects that we previously mentioned are gone. It all depends on how the board falls. We never know how anything's going to go in the draft. Everybody's draft board's different. Every team's draft board's different, right? You get selections that are just out of nowhere. You get guys going over someone that you just didn't think was going to happen. So we never know. Or it could be a bad case scenario where the guards just fly off the board immediately. That's where a guy like Jalen Farmer could come into case late day two, early day three, if they so desire to, because at least at that point, they're not throwing him into the Wolves immediately. And you can have a confident, solid starter with Brock Hoffman, say, for the first couple of games, and then you bring in Farmer. But again, that's just like a worst-case scenario for the Steelers, which isn't – it's not a bad way to go, just not the most preferred method.
No, but it wouldn't be the worst situation if you were to have Farmer as a backup option or to backup plan. Again, it really depends on how the board falls.
Right, I agree.
If they want to wait that long, to which we'll see what happens.
Yeah, anything can happen in the draft. Obviously, Billy Schroth out of Notre Dame. Notre Dame linemen are just another group of studs that just turn out to be – really good, capable starters in the NFL. They're, you know, very good service roles, or they play multi-years and get multi-year starters out of that school.
Yep.
It's just one of those things that it just keeps happening, right?
Yeah.
Billy Schroth, I wouldn't mind as well as like a later option, a worst-case scenario option, which isn't a bad option either because he himself is going to make himself a nice pro in the NFL. He allowed no sacks last year. Only one sack allowed the last 2 years.
That's it.
Only two hurries allowed last year. Yes, he only played 7 games, which is a little concerning.
Yeah, the durability, you know, those are going to be red flags right there. But when it comes to durability with Omar Khan, if it all pans out, if the medicals pan out, then he's going to take you. Schroth, though, he was a team captain for Notre Dame and, of course, leading the charge at left guard for Jeremiah Love. Like, he was a big component of being a valuable run blocker for a guy like Love, or even Price, the backup, right? The two top running backs coming into the NFL draft, really.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. But he's also a guy that can work on double teams, you know, when it comes to his ability going up against rushers. He's got strong hands.
He also has some swing ability. Initially starting at right guard in 2023 before eventually moving, primarily seeing a lot of his snaps at left guard. If you want him as, like, a underrated, like, early day three option at pick 121 or whatever, he's another one of those options, much like Farmer. Again, this is just more one of those, oh my God, you know, we all the guys fell off the board. What do we do now? You can fall on these guys and not rush them into starting roles because they have filled in interior offensive line depth with Hoffman, Anderson. They brought back Ryan McCollum. Our interior offensive line depth is strong as hell.
It is.
It is. So with guard, I still find it incredibly pressing that you have to select one of the top guys immediately within the first two or three picks. But it's also where it depends on how the board falls. The Steelers are keeping their options open. They got so many picks. And if they want to fall back on a guy like Schroth or Farmer or guys like that, it's not the worst way to go. Not, like I said, it's not the most preferred, maybe not even the smartest method, but it's not the worst way to go because I think you're still going to get some solid pros down the line.
Yeah, for sure. And with the Steelers bringing in Hoffman, because if they didn't bring any guard at that, whether it was Harmon or Hoffman or anybody else, then I would say yes. And I still believe that it's a pressing need for the Steelers to select guard within the first two selections, first or second round, whatever that is.
Right.
But considering that they have a guy that's familiar with Mike McCarthy and that is starting caliber, at least initially for, you know, he's a fill-in starter, right? He's capable of filling in for the first couple games if his name is called upon, especially if he wins the competition, right? But if they want to fall back on, again, it's not the worst scenario, and it's one of those things that they're keeping their options open when it comes to the draft because they've been looking at other positions. Linebacker, cornerback, safety even, right? Although they filled some of those positions, and those positions have depth, they're still looking at those necessary positions just to fill for years down the line.
Yeah, anybody that they brought in via free agency doesn't take those positions off the board early either.
No, it doesn't.
It does not.
I don't think it does. Again, with the amount of picks that they have and just the top-tier talent that they have in those rounds, at those positions, it's not far-fetched.
Well, you also look at how stacked those positions are, even on day two. Like receiver, you can still get some solid guys day two. Linebacker, that's where the majority of those guys are going to go, is day two. There's plenty full of linebackers day two. Safety, corner are stacked as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Guard is stacked as hell day two. So the Steelers have options anywhere they want to go, and they have so many picks day two that they could literally address so many positions anywhere they want to. It all depends on how the board falls.
But if I were to say where I believe they will take a guard, it's going to be early just based off their neediness of the trenches, of their importance of the trenches.
That could be first round. Yeah, they prioritize the trenches very much.
That could be first round. That could be Vega. They could trade back and take a Pregnant if they want to. Or if they go another position in the first round, they could still take a guard at 53. Or if they want to trade up early into the second round, which seems like a more ideal and likely scenario, at least in my opinion, they could still do that and take a guy like a Besantis or a Pregnant or take a Rutledge, right? It's very well possible.
Or Dunker. Or
taking depending on how the draft board is, how it looks for the Steelers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to make any predictions here, but I do have a feeling that guard is probably most likely going to go day two. Like if there's a time they're going to take guard, I think it's most likely to happen day two, most likely at 53. And I'm going to say, I think there's a more likely chance that they actually trade up in the second round for a guard than they trade up in the first round for anything.
I agree.
I could be dead wrong in that, but with Omar Khan, we never know. With all the picks that he has, 12 picks, which is the most the Steelers have had in a long time, we never know what's up his sleeve. But all we know is he has the ammo to do absolutely anything, and all the positions the Steelers still need to address. Defensive tackle as well, we should also bring up.
Yes, nose tackle.
There's so many players at those positions, they're stacked, that anything is possible, and it's going to make the draft in Pittsburgh incredibly exciting. But for guard, anywhere they want to go guard, I'm very happy with, but it is more ideal that they prioritize it mad early in the first two or three picks, and dare I say, even potentially trade up for one of the best ones.
If they have to, why the hell not?
And I'm going to be very interested to see what guard prospects they bring in for top 30 visits, as, of course, we have less than 2 weeks, so they got to fulfill those spots, fulfill those visits, right? I'll be very interested to see what guard prospects they bring in. I can definitely anticipate Vega. I can anticipate Dunker. I can anticipate Pregnon, Besantis.
Well, they brought in Rutledge so far, and they did meet up with Chase Besantis and Emmanuel Pregnon at the Combine. So they kind of have that prior, you know, meet up with them. So it's very well possible that they could bring him in for top 30 visits, and hopefully Vega is one of those guys as well.
For sure. Should be interesting. But let us know your guys' thoughts down in the comments below. Are there any other prospects you guys might want to add to this list that we did not add? I think we covered a lot of our bases here, and at least in terms of where it is most likely for them to select a guard and where those certain players are projected to go, at least according to consensus.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any other guys you want to add to the list, by all means, let us know. We'd love to hear any more other options you guys have. Otherwise, let us know your guys' thoughts down in the comments below. The NFL draft is 2 weeks away, so
2 weeks.
We already know like these top 30 visits are going to get very busy, and I'm looking forward to see the names that they're going to bring in, not just at guard, but at so many other positions, because there's plenty for they could still address. We'll see you in the next one. Here we go, Steelers.
And as always, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you in later.
Peace!